2 Super Bowl rings. Should have been 3. No, I got 3, but I should have been 3 for as a head coach, because 08, we were the best team in 08, I thought.
In the latest Know Them From Adam episode, a little old, a little new. The 70-year-old executive vice president of football operations at the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tom Coughlin, and the 31-year-old head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay. Each are in the headlines for different reasons. Coughlin has returned to Jacksonville, where he once took that team to the AFC Championship game. McVay is on the field with his team for the very first time for off-season drills next week. We sat down with both recently, starting with Tom Coughlin.
There you
go. Is Judy not here with you?
No. She's Emma Rose, who is our oldest grandchild, is in the drama. So she had a play this weekend. She's in Sound of Music, Friday and Saturday night. So Judy went to that.
13 grandchildren?
12.
12. Why did I think 13?
I don't know.
12. What's the age range?
13 to 1.
What's better than being a grandfather?
Nothing. But I don't get to go. I'm missing the games in New Jersey. That's the problem. Because I shouldn't say that. We have one boy and 4 girls in Florida.
Yep.
And they all play everything. And then we have 5 boys and 2 girls in Jersey. And the boys are age 13 to 6, and they play everything. So I'm the number one. What's the schedule? You know, give me the schedule, because I got to figure the schedule out.
Were you able to go to this many games for your own children?
No. No. So that's one of the real tragedies, is you don't get to do it. Now, baseball, I could see them all play baseball. Basketball and football, I didn't see much.
So what brings you pleasure about going to their games now? What's it like to go to?
I just love watching them play. You know, it's like, here we go again. You know, it's fun. Here they are out there competing, you know, and you have such a vested interest in praying for their success. But, you know, they'll learn how to handle the losing. They play all kinds of, God, they might play 2 sports every season. So, I mean, it's fun for me, because I enjoy, you know, watching them, you know, go through this whole process, just like I watch my own kids, just like I remember when I did it, you know. So it's just fun.
Do you have any of that regret when you watch now, that you didn't get to do more of that while you coach? Because coaching is so hard, and people don't know the real hours sometimes.
Oh, I don't know. I regret not having seen more of, and I think my oldest son, deep down inside, regrets I didn't see as much as I. My son Tim was the captain of the baseball team at Virginia his senior year. I saw one game.
Wow.
Because I was doing this job.
This job.
I just gotten the Jaguars.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there you go.
Your life has sort of come full circle now. I mean, you had the home in Jacksonville. How do you feel about that?
A lot of twos in my life. Seriously.
What twos? Give me
Syracuse
the twos.
Syracuse twice. Okay. Yep. Boston College twice. Giants twice. Jaguars twice.
2 Super Bowl rings.
2 Super Bowl rings. Should have been 3. No, I got 3, but I should have been 3 for as a head coach. Because 08, we were the best team in 08, I thought.
And what happened?
Plaxico shot himself in the leg, remember?
Oh, I remember that very well.
Yeah, how about that one?
That was...
Let alone that he could have died, you know, because it was that close to his femoral artery. But, you know, and we fought our way right along. But getting in the playoffs, people had seen enough of us. They defended us, and we didn't do a whole lot about it. So you have some regret there, too.
When you go back to all those twos... Mm-hmm. And you think back on your life and all these accomplishments. What stands out about each of those twos to you right now?
Well, I played at Syracuse. You know, I had a great time as a player. Zonka was my classmate. Floyd Little was a year ahead.
Oh, man.
Won a lot of games. Had a lot of fun. Had great teams. Coach Schwartzwalder was our head coach. You know, the oldest paratrooper to jump behind the enemy lines on D-Day. I mean, he was something. I mean, he was a true American military hero. He really was. But he and we played that style of football in those days. We were, you know, run it. We didn't throw the ball. I'll challenge you. I broke the single season pass receiving record at Syracuse University my senior year. Guess how many catches?
7.
No, come on.
Well, I would think back in the day they didn't throw the football.
What do you think we had? Leather helmets? Come on.
21. How many catches? 21?
26.
In a game?
No, in not one game, a season.
It is 26 catches?
26 catches.
I thought you meant in a game.
For a season.
Okay. 26.
Was the
wow.
record. Yeah, it was amazing.
And Marvin Harrison might have had 26 in a game when he went
maybe.
To Syracuse.
Maybe, yeah.
Right.
Well, there was a kid named Tony Gabriel who was a tight end.
I remember him.
Came out of Canada. He probably caught. And Art Monk. Art Monk was. I coached Art Monk. Yeah.
So what is it like to be back in Jacksonville for a second time?
You know, it's people say to me, is it surreal? Nah, it's not surreal. There's a lot that has changed there, but the offices are almost exactly the same. So, I mean, that part of it is, but yeah, I mean, it's changed tremendously in terms of the people, the business aspect of it, the number of people employed. Don't forget, when I first went and we hired people, I think we had a college director, a pro director, and six scouts. That's it. I had five or six coaches on each side of the ball, one special teams coach, you know.
And now,
my God, you need a phone directory to figure out, I mean, how many people are involved in everything. I mean, Doug Marone's the head coach. We probably have 18 coaches with a couple of strength coaches in there as well. It's just a different deal. And we have the scouting department has a lot more people as well. So it's just an interesting concept to see that the game has what has amounted to when I first started out, and it was the Parcells philosophy was keep it tight. You know, when I was in New York, Belichick was a defensive coordinator. They had four coaches on defense. And that's including the coordinator. And we had when Ron Earhart was the coordinator. He coached the quarterback. We had a running back coach. We had a tight end coach and a wide receiver coach. And then we had a special teams coach and an assistant special teams coach that helped on defense. That was it. And that's the way he liked it because there was no information going out. The circle was so tight, you know, nobody was going to.
Now there's more leaks for guys like me.
There is.
Me and Mort, we like that.
More. Yeah, you do like that. You do like that.
You know, listen to
they
this.
They have a lot of access to these people, too.
We said to Jim Mercy, when the Colts moved from Baltimore to Indianapolis in 1984, he had eight coaches and 12 people in his front office. Today, he's got 21 coaches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just
the league has just exploded.
Everything is now specific, total detail. Almost everybody's got their own coach. It's really interesting.
How many people did you recognize when you got back there? How many people?
There's only about five. There's only five left. Dan Edwards, Mike Perkins, Elisa Abbott. Wow. Watch out.
That's a lot of change.
It might be three.
See, when I covered Denver for a long time, and I'll never forget you going in there and coaching the Jaguars for that one game, but there were so many people there. And I went back to Denver last summer. I've been away for about 15 years. And I went through the complex. It was all the same people.
Really?
Same people.
No kidding.
And I'm going from office to office, hugs.
No kidding.
It was amazing
Except
to me.
Except for the coaching side.
How much stability. The coaches always change.
Yeah, that's right.
You've learned that,
you
right?
You lose and you're out. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you think you'd get back to coaching at all?
Now?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Because
I think if that was going to happen, it might have happened this past off season that I would have become a coach. But you know what? This is sort of something that I thought would be a good concept for me, you know. And the way I explained it to the owner, Mr. Kahn, I said, hey, I can help the owner. I can help personnel. I can help the coaches. I can help in a lot of different ways, because of the things that I've done and seen over the course of my career. And so he was excited about that. It took him about an hour to decide this is what he wanted to do. But I think, right now, at this time of the year with the evaluation of players and so on and so forth, it's no different for me. I mean, you always do this as a head coach this time of the year. What's going to be different is when the players come back in April, now what am I going to be like kind of walking around, you know, sticking my head in the weight room and sitting in the back of a meeting room. And
what will that be like?
I don't know. Check with me later. Check later. I don't know.
Do you think your coaching juices will come out?
I'm sure they will. I'm going to have to stifle myself on occasion, no doubt, so I don't say something stupid, you know.
What did you learn working in the league office last year?
Oh, all good stuff. Yeah, I really enjoyed working in the league office because I enjoyed the people that were only involved in football, and I was in the command room every Sunday. It was terrific. You know, I'm in there with all the with Dean and Al Riveron, and they're, you know, they're the guys making all the decisions anyway. And I would slide over to say there was a challenge over here on this monitor. I would slide over there, and I would I'd listen while Dean is on the phone on the headset with the referee, and he's pointing. You know, they always go to a frame so they could, you know, both be on the same page, and then Dean would ultimately, or Al would kind of talk the referee into the decision, and it'd be clear as bell what should have happened, and then they would finish, and I'd sometimes be there going, I don't know about that, Dean. I'm not sure about that, you know. So, and my famous line is, I've been in this business pretty much all my life. Would somebody please tell me what a catch is? Because I have no idea what a catch is.
No one does. No. And you've been in the business your whole life.
My whole life, yeah.
But how about this? There was a 6-month period at one point where I was taken off the air at NFL Network, and I sat back, and you think of things differently. So in your 1 year away, how did that change your perspective on the game or even life or anything like that?
I'll tell you what. Probably if you go back to the year that I was out back in 03, that was more perspective then than this time, because this time, you know, Judy and I are in the house and she's looking at me like I'm trespassing, you know, and I mean, I'm thinking, well, okay, I got to, and she's trying to, okay, you know, you need to do something, you need to get, and I'm, you know, and then the opportunity came along because, I mean, I had talked to the league and then there was a long time in there between that and when I reported August 1, and I think probably because they're smarter than I am. They figure, well, if he's going to go take a job, we don't want to start him out here. And then later on. So they, you know, but it was perfect the way it was set up. And I really enjoyed my time there. But what I really got was a feeling for the enormity of the structure in the National Football League and the amount of people that are very seriously engaged in trying to make the game better. And the idea that the commissioner and the people that he assigns, if you will, to the various functions and jobs and so on and so forth, and the information that's fed to him, it's an amazing process to be a part of.
Two more questions for you. Number one, you have an 8-3 playoff record, same as Bill Parcells, and you had so many great playoff wins. Your cheeks turning red in Green Bay, the two Super Bowl wins.
Yeah, right.
Is there one playoff memory of yours that stands out above the others?
Not really
and
one.
It could just be a post-game moment where you're hugging a guy. Or I mean, I don't know what it is. Is there anything that stands out?
One is tough.
What comes to mind?
I remember the
mind?
Onside kick in Denver.
Oh.
I remember telling Dick Turan, Dick, he's going to score, Elway. He's going to go score. But let's make sure he scores under 2 minutes because they were out of timeouts. So they go out and they line up and they kick a, you know, not much of a challenge, to be honest with you, for an onside kick. And we recover. Lachey Mastin recovers the onside kick, and that's the game. And I remember that. And I remember kind of goofy things. I was telling Dan, believe it or not, was with us in Glendale.
Dan Edwards, Jaguars vice president.
Two, yep. But he was my media director.
You were winning with the Giants.
When I was with the Giants here in Glendale. I have two favorite cities, Glendale, Arizona, and Indianapolis. You know, that's it. I mean, that's how you – but Dan was with me here in Glendale for the first one. Avis Roper was with me the second time, both guys that I had been associated with before they went and took their job. Avis was so excited when we won the game in Indy. I get this hit and the blow to the back of my head. Boom! He's so excited. He's jumping. I turned around and said, Avis, You almost killed me, knocked me down here. We just won the Super Bowl. Thank you very much. But I have memories of my two grandkids. You see, it's about sharing. Now.
There.
It's about sharing.
Okay.
My two grandkids. You remember, have you ever seen this picture? They're probably, it was Super Bowl 42. So it was 07, 08. They were born in 03. So, you know, 5 or 6 years old. And they're doing snow angels. Everybody's celebrating the Super Bowl win, right? Going and rightfully so. Okay, they're playing in the end zone in the confetti, making what do you call those things?
Snow angels.
Snow angels. Making snow angels
in the confetti.
In the confetti. Yeah. So, but that and just the kids. I remember the kids in Indy because they're a little bit older now, and they're really, really excited. And my daughter Kate always has them, all the grandkids, in some kind of Coughlin shirt, you know.
Oh yeah.
And then they all had Snead too. I think Judy wore a shirt with Chris Snead's number on the back of it for the Super Bowls, you know. But those are the things I remember. Yeah, because I remember being in that. We win in Glendale right here. I mean, you're about that high off the ground. Your feet don't even touch, you know, because they're 18-0. What are you doing beating this team?
It was unbelievable.
You can't beat this team. Oh, yeah? Well, let's see what happens.
You can see right away in that game.
That's why you play them. Yeah.
You can see right away. You're going to be able to take this team, help take this team, this Jacksonville team, to the heights that you've reached in the past?
Well, you know what? We're on the brink of, and, I mean, I can argue all day. I mean, here we are 14-2 in 99. Tennessee knocks us out in the AFC Championship game in Jacksonville. And I'm telling you, it was as electric a crowd as I've ever been around. Those people were frenzied that day. It should have been enough for us. We lead at halftime, then you got to get beyond that. That team has never been beyond that. And certainly, to be quite humble, we have to take our first step again. I mean, they've won 17 games in 5 years here.
Six straight seasons of 11 losses in a row.
Can you imagine that?
One from the all-time NFL record that the Raiders have from 2003 to 2009.
It's incredible.
You don't want that record, Tom.
No, we don't want that record. We're not interested in that one. Yeah, hopefully we'll be a little bit better than that. They're close. They've been in a lot of close games. They don't know how to win. They're young, fragmented as they would be. Because they don't have any place to turn where there's success, and we've got to—that's where we've got to pull that together.
Last thing, Sean McVay is going to be 31 years old this year. Can you imagine being a head coach in the NFL at 31? And what would you say to him?
Lots of luck. No, no. I would say to him that you got to be true to yourself. You know, you can read all you want. You know, as we all did. You know, as I did. You know. Lombardi, John Wooden, you know, all these things. And John Wooden, as I got into it, became a huge factor for me, midway point in Jacksonville and then beyond. Huh. But you got to be yourself. You know, you really do. You got to be true to yourself. You got to realize how you got there, why you got there. And one of the things that happens to people when they have an opportunity to be a head coach in this league, they got there because they are an outstanding football coach, and then they end up in a position where they delegate too soon and they give too many responsibilities away. If you're an outstanding offensive coordinator, man, you got to do what young Case did in Miami. You got to be the play caller. You know, if you're the outstanding defensive coach, you got to be the defensive coach there, at least to the point where once you get into it and you're down the road, people who are on your staff, you know, you've got to acknowledge them and give them responsibility so they can advance. But right away, it's got to be you.
Tom, welcome back to the NFL. It's great to see you,
Thanks, Adam. I really appreciate
you spending some time.
Nice to see you, as always.
Thank you. And so there he is, Tom Coughlin, a man who's got a lot more energy than most 70-year-olds. And now, our next guest on the Know Them From Adam podcast is the 31-year-old head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay, who will have his team on the field for the first time on Monday when the Rams begin their off-season program. This will be McVay's first look at his team up close and personal, and I asked him what he was expecting. Sean, of the many reasons I wanted to get you here on this podcast is on Monday you start your off-season program. So you will step onto the field for the very first time with your team and your players and get to watch them. What is that going to be like to finally have your team assembled with you as a first-time NFL head coach?
Well, it's very exciting, Adam. You know, it's one of those things where as soon as you get the job, you get your coaching staff together, you can't wait to get on the grass and get to work with these guys. So really, you know, that Monday is going to represent getting a chance to meet with the players for the first time, communicate our vision, what we want to be from an identity standpoint, both offense, defense, and special teams. And it's a very exciting time to be an LA Ram, and we can't wait to get going with these guys.
How much time have you got to spend with these guys already?
You know, really, I haven't gotten any chance to spend any time. You're trying to get me in trouble with the CBA right now. But haven't had a lot of chances to really be around the players just based on the way that the collective bargaining agreement is structured. But, you know, you've met a lot of the players there around. That's one of the luxuries of being out in L.A. You know, the guys want to stay around there year-round. There's a lot of nice things that the city has to offer. So seen a lot of the faces. You know, some of the guys live here, some don't. So it'll be a great chance to get everybody in the building.
So the staff has been what you thought it would be so far?
It absolutely has. You know, fortunately, a lot of these guys that are on the staff are people that I've worked with. And if it really wasn't one of those situations, then it's people that I've closely valued their opinion, that they've worked with them, spoken very highly of them. You know, you look at a situation where we were able to get Wade Phillips on board. Having a close relationship with Wes the last couple years was instrumental. Doesn't hurt to have his daughter living out here. But got a bunch of quality coaches, and, you know, those guys are all chomping at the bit to get going with these guys as well on Monday.
Even though you're the young guy in the block, you're going to have to give any messages to your old defensive coordinator to stay off Twitter?
I know, right? He's gotten after me pretty good with a couple of those age jokes, and I told him, I said, as long as you keep these defenses playing like everyone you've been a part of the last handful of years, you could tweet whatever you want, Coach.
Well, what did he tweet before that was so popular? What was the one popular tweet he had?
He said, the Rams are the only staff in the league that have a DC on Medicare and a head coach that needs to be in daycare. So it was pretty good. He's got a great personality. You know, being around him for the last really couple months now, you could see why he's a special coach. He's got a great way about, you know, appreciating some of the fundamental things that you take for granted, and his ability to communicate but also empower his assistants. You know, we got in the building early, and I was sitting in on one of their staff meetings, and I loved what he said, and it kind of represents what we want to be as an organization. He says, you're not working for me, you're working with me. And that was what he said to his defensive staff. And, you know, I think that's kind of a good representation of the types of coaches that we want in our building. Great leaders, but it's about we, not me. And that's the culture that we're trying to create in LA.
Now, that's on the defensive side of the football. On the offensive side, you inherit the man that at this time last year was the quarterback that a lot of teams wanted in Jared Goff. What have you seen on tape from him, Sean, and what are your expectations for Jared Goff?
You know, what we've seen on tape from Jared is he's a tough player. He took some shots last year. Love the way that he got up and responded. You can see him. He has the ability to make all the throws. You know, he's got the ability to change his arm angle. You can see they change the launch point with him a little bit so he can make athletic throws where he's throwing on the run. Being around him, getting a chance to talk to him, get to learn his personality, he's got some fire in him that I think you wouldn't realize unless you really sat down and got a chance to kind of just have that overall interaction. But I know he's motivated to respond and bounce back from what wasn't an ideal rookie year for him, and he'll be the first to admit that. But it's a great challenge. We're focusing on continuous improvement every single day, and if we do that over time, then I think it'll lead to big results.
We talked about this in Indianapolis a little bit. When you were there last year as the offensive coordinator of the Washington Redskins, you never could have thought a year later that you would be the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams with Jared Goff as your quarterback. How strange has the whole transition been in that regard?
No, it's a great point, Adam. And it's one of those things where when we were going into the combine, you know we don't have a first-round pick, but you mentioned to the staff, you say, hey, let's just make sure we do our due diligence, because whether it's free agency, having some familiarity with some of these guys that we know will go before 37, or, you know, just by the way the league operates, you just never know when you'll be exposed to some of these players or have to work with them, and that knowledge will be very beneficial and valuable moving forward. You know, you look at where I was in Washington with Kirk and Colton Place, felt very good about our quarterback situation. So didn't do a whole lot of work on Jared because, you know, it was either he or Carson that was kind of be that one or two pick. And now, you know, you realize the benefit and the value, whether you might have that player on your team or not, of just kind of having an overall pulse and feel for the entirety of the league.
Sean, I'm sure you've been involved with other teams' drafts before, but this year you'll be the head coach of a team that's drafting. And obviously you don't pick until 37. How do you learn to handle that? And what is that going to be like when you are on the clock and you're the head coach and you have more input than you've ever had before?
Yeah, it's an exciting time. And I think, you know, you look at Les and his staff and what they've been able to do is kind of categorize and put these guys into tiers where we think they might fall. And based on some of our needs after we've addressed some of those in free agency, I think we feel really good about where we're at. We've got 8 picks right now, and you never know how things will shake out. But being able to make sure that with all 8 picks, we address the needs, but we also value, you know, the football player. And I think that's the greatest way to evaluate these guys. We're looking for great football players that are men of character. And I think Les and his staff do a great job because, you know, right now we've got a lot of things going on where you're kind of just wrapping up the beginning parts of free agency, you know, where you've got your priority guys that you're trying to sign. You're also implementing your scheme so that when Monday does roll around, we start meeting, talking scheme with our players. We're sharp, we're organized, we're ready to roll. But then you also need to make sure that those 8 picks are very, very important to our future. And we're going to be counting on some of these guys to contribute next year, so we can't afford to miss.
If my math is correct, and I'm sorry if I bring this up again, I think Andrew Whitworth, your new free agent offensive tackle, is the only player on your roster who's older than you. Am I correct in that?
That's exactly right. He is. He's 35 years old. He's a Grizzly vet, but you know, you look at what he's been able to do at Cincinnati the last couple years, and I think he's playing at a high level. He's like a fine wine. He's getting better with age right now, but feel good to be around him. You know, I have some familiarity with him just because of his experience with Jay in Cincinnati and, you know, the type of leader, the type of player that he is. And I think he'll be a great add to our organization, and especially that O-line room and that leadership presence that he'll offer to our offensive side.
Did that come up, the fact that he's older than you when you brought him in?
You know what? It didn't. I think he already kind of knew what was going on. And, you know, we had met a couple times going back to actually when Jay first got hired in Cincinnati as the offensive coordinator. I had met him at the Combine and always respected his career from afar, and everybody that you talk to that's been around him can't say enough positive things about him, and that's why we feel so fortunate to have him as part of the LA Rams organization.
Now, here's something else that I think a lot of people don't know. I think that there's a part of you that is an old soul, in the sense that when we spoke last week, you were driving into work. It was 4:30 in the morning Pacific Coast time. It was 7:30 on the East Coast. I'm at the vet dropping off my dog when you called at that point in time. Have you gotten used to West Coast time? Is that going to be standard for you? Are we going to keep Coach Gruden hours, or what's the deal, Sean?
Well, I'll tell you what, it does sound like I'm grinding, but I'm asleep pretty early too. It's about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and I'm starting to go to bed. But it seems like I still am on East Coast time. But you know, the fortunate thing about being a person that wakes up early, you kind of can get in, get some work done before really the building gets around, where you know you're going to get pulled in a bunch of different directions. But it's fun, and you get a chance to get your workout in, so that you got a little bit more patience throughout the course of the day. I think you know about that, Adam.
How big of an adjustment has that been, just all the demands that are coming at you throughout the course of the day, so that you have to get in earlier to get some of that work done?
You know, it has been a big adjustment, but I think it's been fun. You know, I've really enjoyed it because it forces you to really prioritize your time and make sure that you've got a bunch of things that you're just trying to check off each and every day, but you got to be able to prioritize them and understand what's important now, what do we need to take care of, and what's something that maybe we can put to tomorrow. And having great people around has been very beneficial and valuable to kind of help figure out ways to prioritize that when you've got a great coaching staff, when you've got good leadership in the building at some of those other departments. You know, it allows you to really be able to delegate and trust that people are going to do their job. And that's all I've seen so far. And that's why you feel good about the situation we're in.
And for those who don't know, your grandfather was John McVay.
That's right.
John McVay, the former general manager of the 49ers, head coach of the New York Giants.
That's right.
Did he expose you to organizations, players, things that regular grandchildren wouldn't ordinarily get to see?
No, it's funny you ask, Adam, because really you don't realize what you're picking up until you have a chance to kind of look back on it, and you subconsciously are just kind of absorbing those things that you are exposed to. You know, when I was really growing up in Atlanta, they were actually in the same division as the 49ers. So I can remember when they'd come out on a Friday when they're traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast, which we'll be familiar with now being out in LA, and you get a chance to spend some time with them. You go out to training camps in the off season, and being around those great players, especially when you look back on the success they were able to have. You know, my grandfather's fortunate to be part of 5 world championships, and you realize now what it looked like. You know, you see kind of the standards that they set, and nobody was really above the standards. They had their best players that upheld those standards, and just watching the way that Joe, Steve, guys like Jerry, they carried themselves, the Ronnie Lotts, you know, those are fun things that you get a chance to kind of see, or even just talk to your grandfather about, you know, what did that look like? How did he process that, and then how you can implement it into the structure of LA?
But do you have memories of that as a little boy?
I can remember things. You know, I was still pretty young, but I remember when they came in, you know, when they were in Atlanta's division. I'm sitting next to Jesse Sapulu on the bus, and I was a big fan of Dexter Carter, Florida State. He was a good return man at the time, so that goes to show you that had some awareness of the overall team. But it was a great thing to be a part of. I do remember, I wasn't at the game, but I remember when they beat San Diego, and Mike Shanahan was actually the offensive coordinator. So you realize what a small circle of people it is that are involved in this. And that was a big reason why I was able to get on in Washington with Coach Shanahan, in addition to my relationship with Bruce. But, you know, my grandfather's background with Coach Shanahan from when they won that championship in San Fran.
So that's how it came to be that you got united with Mike, because of his respect for John McVay?
Yeah. You know, I know they had a lot of respect for each other, and I think it certainly didn't hurt when he said, my grandson is in coaching. Kind of Kyle and I had a similar background, both being quality control coaches for John Gruden. So I think we were able to speak the same language, and seemed like it was a seamless transition, and learned a lot from those guys. And I feel like it's a big part of why I'm fortunate to be sitting here with you.
That's unbelievable, because That Super Bowl that you're referring to, San Francisco, San Diego, was the first Super Bowl that I ever covered.
Is that right?
And then Mike goes on to Denver, and I remember following him back to the hotel. Pat Bowlen, the Broncos owner, was there at the time trying to hire Mike, brings him back to Denver, and he brings along, because he can't get John, Neil Dolan,
yep,
who is working for your grandfather at the time, who becomes a general manager, and much like John was for the head coaches there in San Francisco, and then Mike hires you. So all this kind of comes full circle over time.
It really is. It's an amazing thing, and that's why you realize and you appreciate, you know, the reputation that my grandfather was able to establish in this league, where you treat people the right way, do things in a classy, professional manner, and I think it's kind of paved the way for some of the opportunities that I've gotten in this league, and I'm forever indebted to him and what he's been to my, you know, coaching career.
And yet your father runs a television station in Atlanta.
That's exactly right. He's the general manager for the WSB, which is the ABC affiliate in Atlanta.
Which is part of the ESPN family, the ABC. That's a good thing. And your mother's an interior decorator. So what did you get from your two parents that basically is a part of your presentation and approach right now to your job?
Well, I'll tell you what I've got from my mom, who's an interior designer. She's got great taste and a very expensive taste. So, I'm fortunate. I just got a house out in L.A., and, you know, you're so excited about buying the house and getting a chance to close earlier this week. Then you're sitting in there, and she's kind of going through some of the plans, and you're realizing, wow, I'm not really going to get the discount I thought I would for my mom. But, no, she's done a great job at all the places that I've had, both in Tampa and in Washington, so I know she'll do a great job with this. And then, you know, you look at my dad's influence on me. He's one of the best leaders that I've ever been around. You know, his ability to kind of bring people together, the way that he communicates, treats people the right way. And I got a chance to do an internship with him when I was still playing at Miami of Ohio, when he was actually running the Fox affiliate in the San Francisco, Oakland market. And just watching the way that he interacted with, you know, every single employee the same on a first name basis, that really resonated with me. And I saw the type of environment and culture that it created, where there was a loyalty to the organization. It was an upbeat, positive atmosphere, and I always took that, you know, just really kind of observed, and it was something that I thought made him a great leader. And I'm convinced that if he got into coaching, that he'd probably be in one of these 32 opportunities that the NFL presents, because he's a great leader, always was a great competitor. But he's had a huge, tremendous influence on me, and it doesn't hurt to have a guy that can kind of give you a couple coaching points on how to do some of the things that you have to do as a head coach, which is sitting down talking to you, Adam.
But you can see it, the qualities in him that are present and successful head coaches around the NFL?
Absolutely. You know, I think when you look at just great leaders across the board, I think there's some consistencies in terms of their ability to communicate, their ability to understand how to reach different personalities, but in an authentic and a genuine way. And that's something that I think a lot of these guys that have had a lot of success in this business already, you know, they have. You know, you look at some of the guys in this league right now, there's a bunch of different examples, and, you know, you're sitting in there and some of those meetings at the owner's meetings, where you're just really in awe of the way that these guys carry themselves, the way they speak, how they handle just different interactions, and it's something that I look to take from, and I think my dad has a lot of those characteristics and traits as well.
Did you ever think of going into the news business?
I think maybe sales would have probably been the direction that I would have gone.
You've been good at that, Sean.
Well, I appreciate that, Adam. I got a chance to, you know, really when I did that internship, you kind of get exposed to all the different departments, you know, when you're running a TV operation, and that was something that I could see it being something that you would translate to, but to be honest with you, there really wasn't ever any, you know, thing that I ever thought about other than being involved in football. Whether it was coaching or personnel, I didn't really know. Then when I got a chance to get on in Tampa after I finished up playing with Coach Gruden and his staff in Tampa, you get on the grass, you have that interaction in the meeting rooms with the players, and you know, this is exactly what I want to do. Can't imagine myself doing anything else. And it's why you wake up at 4:30 in the morning excited to attack the day, because you know it's something that you enjoy and you don't ever really feel like you're working.
What did you learn from Coach Gruden?
Well, I'll tell you what I learned from Coach Gruden is, you know, the demonstration of the tireless work ethic. You know, a guy that does things the right way. He really taught me to look at the game from a 22-man perspective. Getting a chance to spend a lot of time with him after we worked in Tampa, where he started his famous FFCA, I was really a part of kind of that first year where he really grilled us, taught us big picture football. And I think not just looking at it from a quarterback standpoint, a receiver standpoint, but understanding up front, how are these protections handled? What are the issues? How are we blocking things in the run game? How are we attacking certain fronts? And then from a defensive perspective, understanding all three levels with the D-line, the linebackers, and the secondary. And his approach, I think that's why he's one of the great coaches there is, because he's looked at it like that. He's got that tireless work ethic and an ability to reach people and motivate them. And took a bunch of different things from him, and he has been a huge, huge influence on my coaching career, and can't thank him enough for what he's done. And he's still a guy that I rely on heavily to this day.
So he was the guy that brought you into the NFL?
He was.
How did he find you?
Well, you know, our family connections go way back. You know, you talk about that circle and everything comes full circle. My grandfather and Jim Gruden Sr., John's dad, coached together at Dayton, and then they worked together at San Francisco when he was a scout for personnel. So, you know, it goes back to my grandfather kind of paving the way for those opportunities. And then, you know, Coach Gruden, Bruce Allen, John Gruden, my uncle, they're all really close friends from being in that Tampa area. My uncle actually runs the Outback Bowl. So there's a lot of different connections, and you feel very fortunate to be a part of it where it works out to get on and get a chance to coach around somebody great like Coach Gruden.
So how old were you when you were hired in Tampa, and what was your job at that time?
I was really an offensive assistant. It was really more like kind of an assistant to the quality control, and as you're able to absorb and learn a little bit more, then the more that you can absorb, then the more that they'll give you. But you're not above doing anything for the coaches as far as running errands or helping out a guy, Tim Berbenick, who's now coaching in Indianapolis, but he was very helpful. He was really the assistant running backs coach at the time, but making tip sheets, tests, and then just trying to continue to learn and absorb. And there was a bunch of great coaches on that staff that were willing to kind of help me grow, and guys that I still keep in touch with to this day.
Were they paying you?
They were paying me a very low salary, but I would have probably come and done it for free just because of the experience and the exposure. And you get a chance to be around, obviously, guys like Coach Gruden, Bill Muir, Monty Kiffin, Raheem Morris, Rich Bisaccia is now the special teams coordinator in Dallas. And those are guys that I still keep in touch with. Greg Olson was on that staff. Now we're working together in LA, and he's coaching the quarterbacks. So, you know, you get a chance to be around these guys, and you realize what a special, unique kind of, organization the coaching circle represents in the NFL, where you never know when it's going to come back to you.
How did your parents feel about you becoming a coach when you told them, hey, this is what I want to do?
Well, I think they're excited about it because they know I'm passionate about it. I know my mom will be a nervous wreck for the games now. She was pretty good until I was the offensive coordinator, and then she's got to worry about her little boy getting booed, you know, when you make a bad play call. And now I can only imagine. She said anytime she starts to think about it, her stomach starts to hurt.
Well, we talk about block out the noise. She's got to learn to block out the noise.
That's exactly right. She's telling me she's reading certain articles. I said, why are you reading that? Don't even worry about that. I said, you can't worry about that kind of stuff. Only read it after we win.
Sean, give my number.
Yeah.
I want to talk to your mom. I want to speak to her about this. We've got to set her straight before the season begins.
She's got to be coachable. We got to get her to be a little bit more coachable.
Hey, what's it like coaching in LA? Like, this is the land of the stars.
Yep.
And you are the youngest NFL head coach ever. Have people begun to recognize you there yet? Have you run into Hollywood stars that want to meet you? What has that been like?
It's been great so far, you know, because like I tell people, we're still undefeated. Ask me week six, you know, how I'm doing, and then I'll be able to give you a better answer. But, you know, I think that's a great opportunity where you get a chance to be in a big market like that, what LA represents. And, you know, when you go down the West Hollywood area and you're going to nice restaurants and stuff, you know, it seems like you're seeing a lot of people that you recognize. So that's been a unique experience. Our facilities are actually out in Thousand Oaks, which is a little bit away from it. But, you know, the city's so beautiful. The weather's so nice. I've loved every second of it, and it's why you can't wait till Monday rolls around to get the players in the building, get this offseason program cranked up.
Now, you brought up your mom getting your house ready. When is your house officially going to be ready to move into?
Well, I closed on it last week, but I would say it probably won't be officially ready till about May 1st. So in the meantime, Mr. Kroenke's taking good care of us, where we've got a nice setup at one of the hotels. So we're certainly not complaining, and we're not in too big of a rush to get in there.
So you've been living in a hotel in LA since basically January.
That's exactly right. You know, since I got on board and since took the job full time, I've been living in a hotel, but it's a very nice one, and it's definitely not something I'm complaining about.
So do you have mail come to the hotel and packages come to the hotel, or they go right to the Rams complex?
Yeah, it's easy to send them right to the facility, and now once May 1st rolls around, we'll start sending them to the address that I have out in California.
Well, good luck with the start of the off-season program on Monday. Good luck with the new house. And I'm very happy that you could take some time to join us today, Sean. Thank you.
I appreciate you having me on. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.